Welcome to the inaugural Steadyham podcast, coming to you from our office at the foot of Granville Island in Vancouver, BC. We're all about embracing new technologies and mediums of communication at Steadyhand, which is why we're doing this podcast. Okay, it probably sounded pretty obvious that our COO made me say that, so with that out of the way, let's get started. In this session, we interview Steadyhand's president and founder, Tom Bradley, on why Steadyhand was created and what the company is all about. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Scott.
Now, you've had a successful career in the investment business, and you could have retired at the top. Why are you doing this?
Well, Scott, I guess the first thing I'd have to say is that I still will retire one day, and I certainly plan on doing it at the top, so that goes without saying. But I spent about a year away from the business, and a couple things happened. I found out that I had lots of gas left in the tank, and I guess more importantly, I found out that I loved the business just too much to be away from it. I loved the people and the challenge, so that made me want to get back and get my feet back in. Also, while I was away that year, there was a confluence of things happened. For one thing, I sort of, as I sat back and watched the wealth management industry, I was just driven crazy by the fact that day after day there were new products coming out with higher fees and increased complexity, and I guess just a general marketing orientation over an investment orientation, and that was disappointing to me and spelled opportunity, I suppose. And in parallel to that, as I was doing some investing myself, but also out there looking for other partners to invest some of Laurie and my money, I found out that it wasn't that easy to find the kinds of things I was looking for. And so you put that all together, I kind of thought to myself, well, I see a need for myself. I'm sure there's other people that are in the same boat as I am, and that if we created Steadyhand, we may have find some of those like-minded people. So that's what we've done.
At last count, there were over 200 fund companies offering nearly 2,000 mutual funds in Canada. Is there room for another?
Well, Scott, those numbers are mind-boggling. As you say, over 200 and around 2,000 mutual fund companies or funds. If we use the number 200 as a round number, I'd say that there's probably 190 of those that do all the same things. They sell their products through high-cost distribution channels that charge commissions, pay trailers, have other fees involved. And we just believe that that part of the market has got fat and out of shape, and that there is room. There'll be room for others as well, but there's room for us as a lean, focused firm to find a market amongst the investors out there. And what we're going to be about is investing first over marketing, and obviously trying to keep the cost down to the final investor.
Much of the legwork for setting up the company has now been done. So what's Steadyhand all about?
Scott, Steadyhand's all about getting back to the essentials. And what I mean by that is connecting engaged investors with experienced investment managers as efficiently as possible. And I want to break that sentence down because there's a lot there. When we say engaged investors, we expect that certainly in the early years, who we're going to attract are the people that know a little bit about mutual funds, they've had some experience, the good, the bad, and know what they're seeking, and hopefully our product line will fill some of those needs. We know we're not for the mutual fund novice and some others that need and are very dependent on advice. When we say experienced managers, we're saying that intentionally, because I'm a big believer, and you'll see this in the managers that manage our funds, that experience is of paramount importance. And we want managers that have been through some ups and downs, have a really, really strong philosophy about managing money, and are passionate about it. They live it and breathe it, and they're, in some cases, almost investment geeks. So those are the kinds of people we're looking for, and very important to us at Steadyhand. Finally, when we say as efficiently as possible, we mean we're obviously referring to costs, and we're referring to keeping our product line and how we provide it to our clients as simple and understandable as we can.
There are other companies in the direct distribution channel. PH&N, Saxon, Scepter, and McLean Button are some of the more well-known names, but there are others as well. So what makes Steadyhand different?
First of all, let me acknowledge the similarities. We're all low-cost providers. We've taken some of the marketing costs that many of the other companies have out of the mix, and we sell directly to the customers, and that clearly is a similarity that we have with those other firms. But in all honesty, that's pretty much where the similarities end. There's way more differences than there are similarities. I'd point out, first of all, that we're the only one that has a 1,600-pound grizzly bear crawling around or wandering around in our website. To be less facetious, in our case, this is all we do. We don't have billions of dollars of assets and a list a mile long of pension clients. This is our business. It didn't evolve from the institutional business. So what you see is funds that are designed very specifically for individual investors. And I think in a lot of cases, the other players, it evolved out of an institutional or a pension world, and their funds tend to be a little bit more benchmark-oriented than ours are. Some other things, I think we have a very strong philosophy, and it's very consistent throughout certainly our equity funds. We have a view on how funds should be managed for private investors. We think it should be an absolute return orientation. That is that our managers aren't looking at any benchmark. They're just trying to find stocks that are underpriced and that over time are going to make our clients money. We also, I guess the second important thing there in that philosophy is we want our funds to be concentrated on the manager's best ideas. We don't want them spread over 80, 100, 120 stocks. You'll see in our funds that we could be as few as 15 stocks, and at the most in our global fund we'll probably be in the order of 35 to 40. But that investment philosophy will permeate our whole product lineup. Just a few other things. We're certainly willing to speak out on issues around the industry, and I think some of the other firms will continue to be fairly quiet on those kind of things. While we all have low fees, our fee structure is somewhat unique. We're set up to reward our loyal clients. Clients that are loyal by bringing more assets to us, their fees will decline as their account grows, but also the longer they stay with us, their fees will decline. I think that's an important difference. And finally, and I think people will feel this, well, they already feel this with our website, this is a platform that's built for the next 10, 20 plus years. There's no legacy here. We have a very active website as an example, which is meant to engage investors along the way. And we're going to deliver everything to our clients electronically, whether it be statements, reports, regulatory letters, and things that we have to deliver. So we're going to save a ton of paper, and we think we can do that in a very efficient way. So there, as I said at the beginning, there's a few similarities, but the differences are way more numerous.
Those are differences versus firms that are categorized as being similar to Steadyhand. What about the majority of the mutual fund industry that's dominated by the banks, insurance companies, and mega fund companies?
I think the best way I can answer that, Scott, is to refer back to a quote we heard a couple of weeks ago from Bill Holland, who's the CEO of CI Funds. Bill had just done an acquisition, and so the media was interviewing him, and he said, and I'm going to read this, I said, to compete with the banks, we have to set up a business that looks more and more like the banks. And I've got to tell you, Steadyhand is set up to go in exactly the opposite direction. We want to provide an alternative to the big financial institutional experience that people have every day out there in investment land, whether it be how we service the clients, the products we offer, the philosophy, the tone, etc. So I think there's, as we talked about, a lot of differences between the other players. The differences between us and the big mega players is enormous.
I mentioned that there are other direct players in Canada, but this distribution channel is still pretty narrow, as the majority of funds are sold through brokers and advisors. What makes you think Steadyhand's model will be successful?
Well, you know, I've been told way too many times to count that this is a long shot, it's going to be a tough slog. An amusing anecdote from a few weeks ago, we were in seeing the regulators just sort of finalizing our licensing, and one of the senior people there said that he really liked what we were doing and was a big fan, but he said, "Tom, don't expect anyone will follow." And he wasn't being critical. He just knew that this was a tough thing to do from a regulatory point of view, from a funding point of view, because we're going to lose money for a while, and just getting all of the things we have to do started from scratch. So we know it's tough. It's going to be a tough slug. We also know that what the part of the market we're going after is a tiny part of the market right now. And but what leads us to believe that we can be successful is we think that slice of the pie is going to grow. Why? Because right now we just think there's a lot of people that don't know about it. You know, the players that are in this space, and we talked about that earlier, have been very passive in telling people about their offering. We also think that fees are going to become increasingly a factor in the market. There's a fee consciousness building, and when you're in a 4% interest rate world and fees on some products are upwards of 3%, the math just doesn't add up, so that's going to help. And generally, I think there'll be disillusionment with some of the complex, high-fee products that are out there. Again, I don't think the math works, and at the end of the day, people are going to find that the returns aren't there. So we think this is a part of the pie that is going to grow. It'll stay small, but give us lots of room to grow within it. I just finished by saying that, you know, as for as many people that have told us that it'll be a long shot, there's just as many or more people that have said, you know, "Tom, this is needed. I'm glad you're doing it, and count me in." And we've certainly taken some comfort from that.
Okay, let's wrap up with a question that I'm sure you've answered many times before, but I'll ask it once again. Why the name?
Well, the name came from an expression that I use quite often in talks and in my writing, steady hand on the rudder. You know, and as much as we've endeavored to hire the best money managers in the world, and we've kept our costs down, one of the most important things we can do for our clients is to provide them with a steady hand. You know, at extreme times in the market, extremely bad, obviously, meltdowns, that sort of thing, or in good times, perhaps like we're experiencing right now, it's very important that investors hold steady to their plan and don't get carried away with excitement or with panic. So we want to be that steady hand to our clients through our communications, through our interactions with clients on the phone or in person, and an overall strategy.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks to all you listeners. Be sure to check back for more podcasts on investing and mutual funds.